This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And he is the man. And it's not news until Tom Withers says so, whether he was writing for the Associated Press or he's still writing for the Associated Press. He is the guy we go to when we want to make sure it's 100% confirmed. And he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Thomas.
Hey, how are you guys? Why do I feel like there's a snowstorm right around the corner here?
Because it's 70 today? What is it right now?
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. I always warn people here, as you know, everybody gets excited this time of year. We get that little, you know, early spring tease, whatever you want to call it. I feel like it's May 1st before we're really out of the woods, right? And we've even had snow. We've had snow after May 1st. But all that said, yeah, it's a great time of the year.
Yeah, I was looking at Jeremy Piven's in town. He's doing the Agora, and he's been jumping around. And I was looking at him on Instagram yesterday, and, like, he could not have had a better Chamber of Commerce day. You know, we've got this really well-known actor, comedian who's in town, and he's taking pictures around the Cleveland sign, and he's like, the weather's great. And I'm like, oh, man, finally it worked out. It worked out okay.
Well, I thought Jameis Winston, right? He hit it on the head when he said, the 90 best days of that you could ever imagine we have here in Cleveland. And isn't that the truth, right?
It is true.
Yeah, we'll take what we can get. Now, I'll take this, man, 67 or whatever it is now on March 20th. Let's go.
Tom, the Cavaliers have lost two straight games.
Panic in Detroit, in Cleveland.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Or at the disco.
I tell you what, though, Jeff, to me there are some concerning signs, though.
Yes.
And listen,
yes.
taking nothing away from what has been an extraordinary regular season, I don't think people could be any happier about the way this team has developed under Kenny Atkinson, the way Donovan Mitchell has empowered his teammates, Evan Mobley's development, Darius Garland looking like a different guy, the depth of the bench, et cetera, et cetera. A couple things have me a little bit worried, though, and that is that they've not played in a lot of close games, and that's a credit to them. Don't get me wrong. It's great when you can blow a team out, but I'll go back to Sunday. I covered the game against the Magic, and as soon as the Magic wanted to get physical in the third quarter, the Cavs kind of buckled. They had three turnovers in 27 seconds at the end of the quarter. A 10-point lead was erased in a nanosecond. Mm. And I thought the way the Magic kind of picked up full court, I thought they were, you know, they're a very handsy team, if you will, to begin with. You know, Wagner gets under your skins. Banchero, you know, talks and backs it up. And I just didn't think that the Cavs responded to that. After the game, unfortunately, Donovan Mitchell was, the post-game locker room situation was just lasting too long. But I wanted to ask him about the fine line between matching a team's physicality and then not taking your own team out of its own identity. And I feel like the Cavs kind of get caught in that trap. And then if you saw last night's game, and I stayed up until, 1:35 or whatever it was watching, the Clippers were just a more physical, more aggressive team. And again, taking nothing away from the way the Cavs have played this year, it's been great. But I think there are some things they need to work on. I think it's probably good for Kenny Atkinson and his staff that he'll be able to get these guys' attention with a couple losses. So I would expect an attitude adjustment tonight in Sacramento. You know, this road trip is probably coming at a good time for them just to kind of sharpen things up as they head into the playoffs, and away we go.
All right, so if you could map out the end of the season as far as playing starters, not playing starters, getting the bench valuable time to be ready for the playoffs as well, too, how would you map it out?
Yeah, I would probably stick with what they've done to this point, Andy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they've done a really nice job. When you look at, you know, the top teams in the East, and you look at their average minutes, right? I think the Cavs have three guys right around 30 minutes, and that's great. You know, other teams have had to deal with probably more injuries than the Cavs have, and so that affects that variable. But I would continue to do what they've been doing, which is trusting in his bench, giving guys rest when they need it. You know, I think it was smart for them when Donovan wasn't at 100%. They sat him for a couple games. Same with Evan. Boy, those are the kind of things you have to watch. Those are the kind of things that have really sidetracked them in the last couple of years, right? Those late season injuries that we all worry about. And, you know, all you had to do was watch Cooper Flagg in that situation last week and see how, you know, one twisted ankle at this time in the season can, you know, that just underscores the fragility of a season. So I think it's about getting guys rest when they need it, you know, fine-tuning some things, especially on the defensive end, which I know Atkinson talked about post-game last night, and, you know, try to finish healthy heading into April.
Tom, I want to talk a little baseball with you. I'm going to give you two thoughts here. Part of me is extremely optimistic and so excited about the start of the Guardian season. And I think that part is based on the fact that this front office always figures out a way to make their team compete. And then I actually look at the roster, and I look at holes in the rotation. I look at a bullpen that you're hoping repeats what it did. I'm looking at a right side of the infield that doesn't look anything like it did last year. I'm looking at right field and seeing the same old stuff, and I keep thinking, oh, my God, how is this team going to compete?
Yeah,
which is,
and they won 92 games last year, and they got to the ALCS, right? Yeah, I know, it's remarkable, isn't it, Jeff? I think you just gotta, you know, take a deep breath and remind yourself that, you know, it's a long grind, right? It's the marathon, not a sprint, kind of cliches come into play, but I think that's what you're dealing with. I think from my standpoint, if you're going to look at it from an optimistic point of view, though, Jeff, I would look at what Gavin Williams has done this spring. And when you think about a year ago, how, you know, he tweaks his elbow throwing the weighted ball, and it completely threw off his entire season, right? And then, you know, then the snowball effect after Bieber gets hurt, and we all worried, could this team even put out a couple of competent starters to be able to be competitive in the AL Central, and they exceeded all those expectations, what have you. So I would look at those kinds of things. I would look at the fact that they've seemed to have, you know, rebuilt this bullpen to some degree. They've got some new, young, exciting arms. I know the right side of the infield looks drastically different, but, you know, I would be comforted in that you have a guy like Carlos Santana over there who has a proven track record, who is, you know, the consummate teammate. So, you know, the second base situation will iron itself out, you know, from what I understand. Gabriel Arias has probably got, might be the clubhouse leader at this point. So there's still enough positives, but I feel you, Jeff. You always look at this team with a fine tooth comb and say, well, here's what they don't have, when we should probably be reminding ourselves that they do have one of the best players on the planet in Jose Ramirez, and they still got, you know, quality arms in both the bullpen and the starting rotation.
Hey, what do you think Stephen Vogt learned last year, and how does he take that into the second season? Where, I mean, he put the bar pretty high for himself last year.
I think what he learned, Andy, was to rely on what got him here, right? And that's his communication skills and his ability to get the most out of his players, his ability to, you know, trust his bench. I mean, you know, just like Kenny Atkinson is doing with the Cavs. I mean, Stephen Vogt is not afraid to go as deep on his roster as he needs to at any given time. And all that does is, you know, build good vibes and positivity, you know, from the best player on the team to the last guy on the bench. So I think he just has to rely on what's got him to this point, right? I mean, you know, why change anything if you're going to step in and win 92 games in your first year as a manager? You've done something right. So I think he should just continue to lean on what's got him here. I think he probably learned even more about, you know, again, you know, much like Atkinson, resting guys when they need to rest, being able to tell Jose Ramirez that, hey, you got to sit down for a game or two. You know, we need you for the long run. So those kinds of things. But, you know, listen, he did a remarkable job last year and, you know, rightly rewarded with manager of the year. You know, you could have made an argument for him or Hinch or the Kansas City manager. I'm blanking on his name for a second here. Matt Q. And, you know, I think, you know, as long as he doesn't get outside of, you know, what he's about, I think Steven Vogt will be fine. I think they've really, you know, were lucky in landing a guy, you know, as quality as
he. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
He is.
Tom Withers joining us from the Associated Press and other fine media entities as well. Is that okay right now? I think that one works.
It's okay right now.
Yeah, I think that works right
now.
You guys,
yeah, semi-retirement has been some work for me.
Guys working harder in retirement.
It's just been hard. I'll be honest with you guys, and I know you can relate after being in the business for as long as we all have. Rewiring my brain has been a challenge, and so it's going to be good for me to kind of, you know, take a step back. And now that my AP replacement, Joe Reedy, has arrived in Cleveland, I'll be doing a little bit less and less for the AP, and I think that'll be good for me. I think it's, I'll tell you what, you guys, for the first time in 25 years, I was able to go to the MAC tournament on the weekend as a fan, and it was enjoyable. It was nice not to have that deadline pressure. Not that that was ever a big deal, but it's different watching a game when you're not concerned about, you know, every single dribble and making sure that, you
Wait,
know,
what's
you
the run? What's the run?
Yeah,
they're on a
right,
7-0 run. Are you sure 7
right?
or not? Yeah.
That's exactly, all those kinds of things. And I heard you guys talking to Bill Bender before. And by the way, one of the best guys in the business that a lot of people probably don't know about. Bill is terrific at his job and has been for a long time. But, you know, hearing you guys just talk about college basketball and the spectacle, and, you know, I always felt like those days down at the Q and now Rocket Arena for the MAC tournament were always my favorite days. And it'll be no different this weekend with really good teams and great fan bases in town.
So tell me this, the fact that the move so far, and there's plenty of time to go, so far, has been to trade for Kenny Pickett. Does that scream the Browns are taking a quarterback at 2, or does it scream that Kirk Cousins is in their future, or
that's
neither?
That's a great question, Jeff. I don't know if scream, it's certainly, it yells that way. I don't know how, you know, what kind of volume you want to put on it, but yeah, it would seem to me that things are lining up for them, and I don't know this, and I've tried to talk to some people over in Berea, and they're being very tight-lipped in terms of how they feel about this quarterback class, whether or not they've fallen in love with either Cam Ward or Shadur. And I talked to you guys about this. I watched both of those guys enough during this past season to see upside, to see potential, to see that, hey, if they do feel like one of them can be the guy, then by all means take him. Now, I think what's interesting is, you know, you also have in Travis Hunter and in Carter two, you know, people talk about potentially generational type talents at that spot. And then they talk about, you know, what this 2026 quarterback class could look like. So, you know, maybe they do, you know, plug holes at that position. Personally, I would hope that they don't do that. I would hope that they have fallen in love with one of those two quarterbacks and take them at number 2. So I don't know, Jeff. It's pointing toward something that we didn't entirely see, you know, maybe a few weeks ago. We thought this would go maybe in a different way, and that, you know, maybe by now they'd either traded for Cousins or had signed Russell Wilson or name, you know, what other free agent quarterbacks you would. I didn't see, you know, trading for Kenny Pickett on my bingo card. So a lot can still happen. It's, as you guys know, this is always that silly season where, you know, like in the last week, right, Jalen Milroe has been attached to the Browns. Now it seems like Joe Milton is the flavor of the day, right? So there's all kinds of stuff they're going to bounce around. But I think Browns fans just got to hope that they can finally get it right this time.
Okay, so I want you to go in a conspiracy theory here. The Browns, the Browns bring Journey in to play for the draft party. Does that have anything to do with what they're going to do at number two?
Man, that's a deep question now for me.
In other words, Tom, if they screw it up and then Journey plays Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing. I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah.
When the lights go, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there is a connection there.
Keep hearing it. It makes no sense to me at all that they would.
Andy, I'm going to have to spend an afternoon now trying to connect the dots on that one, right? I got to get the board out and go True Detective on this and see if we can figure out what that means exactly. Kind of cool, though, I think, to be honest with you, that they're bringing them in for the draft. That's
it's a
bonus for Browns fans, right? Yeah, a little thanks for hanging with us for as long as we have, and we're going to try not to screw this up again.
Hey, congratulations. We have a first-round draft pick. That's what the party is, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's been a long time since that's happened, right?
It's kind of miserable. It's only had a little effect on the franchise.
I'll say this, though. I'll be honest with you guys, and I know I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this. I thought the way the Browns, and I'll give them credit, I thought the fact that they dug in on Myles Garrett and got that done, and I'll be honest with you, I was one of the few people that from that go felt like this was nothing more than an attempt for him to get a long-term contract, and that's exactly what happened here. So I'm just, you know, it was a little disappointing to see him kind of flip-flop. And you know, I know he didn't intentionally, you know, drag the city and the franchise through the mud during the press tour down at the Super, you know, Radio Row or what have you during Super Bowl week. But it wasn't a good look for him. I think he still got some damage control to get back some fans that, he did them wrong, I would say. And he did the Browns wrong in so many ways. But listen, again, I'll give the Browns credit for digging in. Holding that they weren't going to trade him, and now they've got him for a few more years.
Tom, the second pick in the draft, I mean, you have to get that right. And this seems so precarious because all the quarterbacks are not very highly rated. And it really has me wondering what approach they're going to take in this whole situation. And you know, anytime I think something sounds good, something else pops in, and I think, well, that sounds good too. Trading down sounds like a great idea. If you aren't convinced that somebody there at number two is a franchise changer for you,
and I'll give you that though, Jeff. But by the same token, you've spent the better part of, you know, 2.5 decades looking for your franchise quarterback.
Exactly.
So you're going to kick that can. You're going to kick that can down the road again. Now, to your point, if you feel like you can get a guy, or maybe you trade back up late into the first round because you were in love with Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe or Will Howard or whoever that guy is, then potentially I could see that. And then at number two, you take, you know, the guy that you have rated, you know, top on your board that's not a quarterback, whether that's Hunter or Carter, whoever the case may be. So I could see it happening, Jeff, but you're right. I mean, you can't get number two wrong unless you get number two wrong.
It just scares me that, you know, we hear everything about these quarterbacks. Well, who knows? But if they just don't think one of them can really play, man, don't take a guy just because.
Then don't do it. No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Tom, we've talked about everything but seven divisions versus four divisions in high school basketball. We'll talk about that some other time. How's that sound?
Okay. That sounds great.
Thank you, Thomas.
Tom, as always, you know, we love talking to you, and we love reading what you write all the time, too. So thank you, Tom.
Love talking to you guys. Take care. See ya.
All right. He is Tom Withers, Associated Press, soon to be a little bit more Associated Press.